Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew 24, verse 4. Matthew 24, verse 4. I'm just going to read that part of that verse. Pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. It says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit who can lead us and guide us into all the truth tonight. We thank you that you gave us the written word. But Jesus, you are the living word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that as you laid down your life for us and took it up again, you poured out your spirit upon all flesh. We're here to be able to receive with meekness that engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. It's not just engrafted, it's implanted in our heart. That our hearts may be fixed, trusting in you, that our hearts can become established in the truth of God's word. So we thank you, Father. We will take heed to what the word says. We will take heed because we purpose not to allow ourselves to be deceived by the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We thank you, Father, for all the good things that you have begun in us, that you desire to complete in us and through us, and the messages that you have given us to take to a lost and dying world. It's not for us just to receive. It's for us to receive so that we have something to give away. We honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, amen. Amen. You know, over the last few weeks, we've talked about taking heed and a more sure word of prophecy. You know, in 2 Peter, we heard about Peter saying, "I was there on that mountain. I heard the voice of God. And yet I have a more sure word of prophecy," when he started talking about the word of God. Not just having that experience, but having the word of God in our hands. To be able to read it, study it, dwell in it, meditate on it. There's just something that we need to totally treasure about it. And one of the things that we have to understand, that when God speaks, as in Hebrews 1 talks about God speaking in times past through prophets, but in these last days, it says he has spoken unto us by his Son. And Jesus and the Word are what?
One.
He's spoken to us by his Son. This is a love letter from Jesus, God, to us. And in these days, he's speaking unto us every single day. All we have to do, if we could say that there was a way to have a digital recorder 2,000 years ago, we wouldn't have the written word. We'd have the spoken word on MP3 players or something. Jesus would be walking around with, you know, all kinds of little gadgets, handing them out to everybody, and we'd be able to plug them in. And thank God we live in a world of technology now where you can actually take the word and listen to it.
Yeah.
And just let it just soak in on the inside of you. As I was sharing a couple of weeks ago about Proverbs, you know, I was driving someplace for an hour. I had to be in a meeting in Wisconsin, so I had an hour drive there, an hour drive back. And so I was listening to the book of Proverbs, and that just stirred up a bunch of things in me. I got about 25 sermons when I listened to things like that, you know. That's the problem while you're driving, though. You can't stop and say, "Oh, that's really good," and then I pull over to the side of the road and write.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. So I always say, "Holy Spirit, now listen to the application, because this is where the scripture is true." He says, "You will bring all things to my remembrance that you have shown to me." That's when I trust that scripture. You get a little revelation. You hear something. You're driving down the street. You listen to the radio. You're listening to a tape. You're at home doing something. And one little nugget goes off. And you go, "Oh, man, that was good." But you can't stop at the time and write it down and spend time meditating on it. You can't sit there and get your Bible and color it all up and just stop there and camp there for a while. And so you go, "Boy, when I get home, I'm going to sit down and look at that." Yeah, right. By the time you get home, 18 other things will have come and gone, and you'll have totally forgotten about it, and you'll get home and you go, "What was that again now? I know it was in the Bible. That's a pretty big book, though. 66 chapters. Books, I mean. 66 books in a big, fat book. And it's in there somewhere. yeah, God, bring it back. And I've had to do that many times. I get some really good sermons, and then I forget them, and I lose them. But then I have to ask the Lord, bring that back, please. Bring that back. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will bring to your remembrance the truth that He spoke to your heart. That was a revelation you needed at that moment. That was a truth that could change your life at that moment. And it's really important to grab hold of those things. So He says in Mark chapter 4, 24, again, we're just kind of doing a little review here. He says, Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. That's the context of take heed what you hear. Mark chapter 4, it's about the parable of the sower or the parable of the heart, whichever parable way you want to call it. And we looked at Luke chapter 8, verse 18, the parallel to it. He says, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. See, if you don't hold on to it, the enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's the parable. There's four different kinds of soil mentioned as the heart, and of the four, three out of the four, the seed that is sown becomes unfruitful. Only one out of four is fruit-bearing from that seed. And of those, of that quarter, some's 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Isn't that true? So He's saying to us, take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear, because even what you've been given and what you've heard, if you're not going to attend to it, it'll be taken away from you.
Yeah.
You'll lose it. You'll forget it. Yeah. Something else will come along and push it out. Mm-hmm. Every one of us have had something come and we go, wow, that was really good. And then later on, you go, what was that? You know, there's times I've had to be honest, I think, what did I preach 2 weeks ago? And I preached it. Thank God I got notes. I can go, oh yeah, that's right, that's what I preached. See, if I were to ask you before I got started, I said, how many of you remember what I preached 2 weeks ago? And some of you, right away you start looking, and if you took notes, he leans over there flipping pages. No, she's smart. She's already, she can probably tell me my sermon. Now, I'd have to look at my own notes sometimes because there's so much going on that between now and 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, it's always amazing to me. Someone will come and say, oh, Pastor, when you were saying this back a few weeks ago, and I'm like, I don't remember saying that. And then I'll have to go listen to that. I did say that. Well, that's pretty good. It's a good preaching. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear it. Because even that which you have, you get more if you attend to it. And if you don't, even that which you have, you can lose it. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but there's times I've even lost some of the things that God's given me. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could say I've always got it and I've always just latched onto it. But I know I haven't. I know there's times that other things in my life have come along. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it say the cares of this world?
Yeah.
Huh? Just the busyness that comes along? The deceitfulness of riches. Now, thank God I'm not caught up with that. But years ago, when I had the cares of this world and then bought the money and having to work 50, 60 hours a week and then still full-time in ministry, try to do that for a while. Yeah, it can wear you out. So, the enemy comes to steal even that which we have. He'll do everything he can to get you to be confused or get you to be distracted so that you're not grabbing hold of not just hearing it, but really hearing it with the intention of doing it. That's the key. So, as my wife was teaching earlier in the equip class, one of the things that you can do to make sure you hold on to it is you meditate on it, you mutter it, you confess it, you let your mouth go to work for you. Because if you don't keep talking it, if you don't do the self-talk, if you don't allow yourself to speak the word over your situation, if you don't allow the word that you're getting a hold of, just keep saying that to yourself. And one of the things that I've learned that when I get a hold of something, I'll just keep saying that to me myself. And I'm not really good at addresses. I confess my fault in that. Some say, well, I can quote all kinds of scriptures, but I may not know exactly where the address is. It's somewhere in the book of Hesitations. I mean, book of the Psalms, Proverbs. You know, we go there, and let's just turn over to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. It's on page 696 in your revised Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Psalm 141, actually it's page 697 because we're going to look at verse 3. It says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." Now, I think it's interesting because the psalmist knew something here, and he had an understanding of something that I think we need to get understanding of. He's asking the Lord to help him set a watch over his mouth. The New King James says, "Set a guard over my mouth." So there's something about having a guard over your mouth. There's something about guarding what you say. There's something about guarding how you say things and the kind of things that you say and the way in which you say it, because it affects the way you hear it, and especially it affects the way other people hear it. You know, we've been looking at telling someone about the gospel at the 242 groups for the last 6 weeks. And it's important to understand that what we've been seeing and hearing at those 242 groups in that material, it's great to have gotten it, but if we don't do something with it now, guess what will happen? Even that which you have will be taken away. It's great to watch those. It's great to listen to them. It's great to be encouraged by them. It's great to take notes. It's great to have the book in front of you. But if you're not careful, if you don't start thinking about it and go back and look at your notes and go over them again, you may lose even that which you have. And so that's why it's important to rehearse. Rehear. Rehearse means to rehear what you've gotten. So he says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, over my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Turn over to Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Holman's Bible says it this way: "The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble." If you're getting in trouble all the time, you might want to check up on your mouth. He says, "The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Now, I've never been a hockey player, but I've known some hockey players in my day. And you can't help but watch hockey players on TV. I know it's kind of a joke, especially in the old days before they had all these masks and all the equipment. But you always knew the hockey players because they didn't have any teeth. Those pucks would hit their... They talk like this. Come on. So they made sure that the hockey players started wearing a mouth guard. What was that for? To protect their teeth. Nowadays you see football players doing it. I've even seen baseball players doing it now. One time I was watching baseball and some guy was up there. I thought he had a pacifier in his mouth. You know, like these kids with a nook. And I thought, what's that baseball player doing with the nook in his mouth? Well, then I realized he's chewing it around like this. He's chewing on it like it was a piece of gum. It's all a big piece of rubber. And then I went, oh. And then he gets in his stance. I realize he did that because he doesn't want to get hit in the mouth with a baseball and lose his teeth. Put a mouth guard in. Well, I think there's some believers that need to put some of those. Right out of your mouth. Isn't that true? See, if we understand this principle of letting the words of our mouth come out of the abundance of our heart and speak in such a way that is life-giving and clear and powerful and creative, and other people are going to hear it because we are God's mouthpiece in the world today. We've been given and entrusted with the truth, and we're to speak that truth in such a way that it's going to change others' lives. But it starts by speaking to yourself. It starts by speaking to yourself and speaking to others clearly. Now, I've asked Mr. Dunn here to help me as an illustration. And if you want to, here, I'll hold that. If you want you to get your little game piece out. Are you ready? You got it? Now, some of you have not heard this game, but the Hansen household has played this game. In fact, if I could show you pictures from last night, go to Facebook. No, they're not on Facebook. Just remove the cover. You go ahead. I got cards.
Okay.
I made up my own. I just want the cover to show people. Now, if you want to have a crazy night of fun, this is the title of the message: Watch Your Mouth. Watch your mouth. Now, I tell you, yeah. So what you do is you put these things in there. How many of you have ever been to the dentist and they put those things in there and then they ask you questions? I was just in there. And so I had to go into the dentist the other day and I was sitting there, and my dentist wasn't available, and so they shuffled me off into this other guy. Hey, how are you? Where do you live? All this kind of stuff. So he's doing the small talk, and it's just stupid, isn't it? And so this game, I think, was designed and invented by a bunch of dental students when they didn't have anything to do between class. That's probably how it got started. So I'm going to ask Sean Dunn to put this mouth guard thing in his mouth. And he's going to stand up. Yeah, someone's going to get a... There he goes. See that, Nugget? Now, in the game, you have to... You're given cards. But I came up with my own.
I need him a dental person to suck the drool out.
Okay. Well, last night we were playing at our house, my wife and a couple of the grandkids, and the one granddaughter, she was drooling so bad, she just put a nap there underneath it. She had it underneath there, because it was just all over. No, it was horrible. It wasn't pretty. So, now, here, the point is this. When you've got something like this in your mouth, it's really difficult to talk clearly, isn't it? But it's even harder to understand. So the game is... He's got to say something from the card, and you have to be able to understand what he's going to say. So, Kevin, I want you. No, everybody else, just shh. Kevin's my first guest guesser. So go ahead and read that, and tell me what he says.
Watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth. See, I set you up for that one. That was easy, wasn't it? Now do this one.
Idols are a god.
I heard last word.
Do it again.
The idols are a god.
Okay. Leroy, you try it now. Try it. Go ahead.
The idols are a god.
What was it again?
Come on. What do you think he said?
Something about God.
Oh, I know what it is. The
Bible's
the word of God.
Ah, there we go. That's the winner over here. All right. Okay, Josh. Here's Josh, your turn. Guess.
Colin Varnish. Stoked totally.
Colin Varnish. Stoked totally.
That's exactly wrong. Try it again.
Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly.
Oh, Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly.
Yes, very good. Sean is getting it out. See, but sometimes it takes 2-3 times before we get it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
See, that's the point. Sometimes. We're not talking about the game last night. We're doing this as a simple illustration right now. So, all right, one more. Nick, your turn.
Yeah, I see the trick. Why don't you leave me? Hey, I see your show. Why don't you leave me?
For those of you, now Nick can't look, you can look up John 8:46 and you'll find out what he's saying.
John 8:46.
My eyes got shot.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I see the trail.
If I tell the truth.
There she goes. See, she's good at this.
Aren't you really?
Yeah, yeah, right there. Yeah, if I speak the truth, why didn't you believe me? Why don't you believe me? That's John 8:46. Now, see, one more. I know you're loving this. You're loving this. You're loving this. All right, Lewis, your turn.
This is the guys.
I'm picking on guys because the girls are always, they get it. They know we mumble. They know we mumble. Girls know how to, they have the gift of interpreting.
They have to, yeah. I don't like that. If you guys ask her for her, you will see.
If you see God.
It's like his helping him.
That's
he's
right.
He's phoning a friend.
Matthew 21:22.
If you believe, ask her, you will receive.
Yes. Thank you, Sean. So, he's a good sport. Yeah, open the doors. It's getting really warm in here. It's very warm in here. Don't open the door. In fact, I'm taking my coat off. It's so warm in here. Holy moly.
Bring it this way. He showed it again.
Open the door. Right?
So, here's the illustration. There's consequences if we don't speak clearly. There's consequences of being misunderstood. There's consequences of people perhaps reacting differently because they thought you said something else. And so Proverbs 18:21 says this: the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. See, if you're not careful, you may reap the consequences of the way you speak and the way you say things, especially if you don't say them clearly. We should speak clearly, and we should also listen clearly. Mm-hmm. James 1:19 in the Amplified says this: let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, that's the Amplified, slow to speak, and slow to take offense, and not to get angry. See, we're the ones that have to learn how to listen carefully, and we have to be thoughtful enough so that we make sure we speak clearly. I was talking with someone the other day, and I had to send an email response to a situation, and the person was reading my email, and they said, boy, you're just going on and on and on. I said, well, I want to because I don't like emails because people, if you're not careful, will read things into it that isn't there. Mm-hmm. They sometimes read in intent. You know, have you ever had someone say, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Right in the middle of what you're saying, and you haven't even finished yet. Yeah. We should never do that because we've allowed ourselves to put our words in their mouth.
That's right.
And we can't do that.
Sorry about that.
I go, hey! See, put that thing in your mouth, and the way you talk and the way you speak can be very confusing, can be very muddled, and it and people will react in such a way that the consequences can be hurtful. Mm-hmm. Because that's why it says, make sure that you don't take an offense or you don't get angry. Now, we need to make sure that we don't assume or guess what the other person means. We really can't say, I know what they mean. We really don't. Mm-hmm. I think we need to stop and listen and think about what they're saying, not think about our response. I've been guilty of that. While someone's talking, I'm already thinking about how I want to respond. And because I'm assuming I know where they're going. I'm assuming I know the point they're trying to make. I'm assuming I know what they mean. That sets us up sometimes to be talking at each other rather than with each other. We talk past each other. And so when the Word of God starts speaking to us, and you say, oh, I've heard that verse. Now listen very carefully to me because this is where we can get in trouble. This is where we shut down the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Because all of a sudden someone gets up here and gives a scripture. Oh, I know that scripture. I've got that one memorized. In fact, I got that one tattooed. Never mind. So you know that scripture. So you think I've got all the revelation squeezed out of that I'm ever going to get. Wrong.
Not true. That's right.
You can read that scripture, as my wife was saying. She's been meditating on Psalm 91 for months, and every single day the Lord shows her a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Every single day you can get a little bit more, because every time you look at it and listen carefully to what it says, you can get more out of what God wants you to get. Don't assume that you know what God's speaking. Don't assume that you absolutely got that verse figured out. There's scriptures that I have preached and taught over and over and over and over and over again. And, man, I'll start studying again and go, why have I never seen that before?
Yes.
Yeah. How? Where was that hiding? That's kind of the way I feel sometimes. How could that have been in there and hiding all those years? So, if it's necessary, ask that person for clarification. Ask that person to make sure you understand what they mean. There's many times in my situation where I've been in counseling, and I've had to rephrase or repeat to the person so that I'm making sure I say, no, so that I understand for clarification, is this what you mean? And then I'll say it back to them, and they'll say, yes. No, you're not getting it. So that's the frustration of that communication. I'm not hearing clearly what they're saying, because somehow or another, I either I don't have a point of reference, they're not saying it in such a way that I can connect with it, I'm not applying it correctly. I don't know. There's always opportunities. And one of the things that we have done many times up in the marriage seminars is go over this with couples, because couples can get in big trouble real quick through misunderstanding and speaking things out and assuming that the other person has heard it, the other person understands your meaning or your intent, and we may miss it. So, one of the illustrations that I thought of, you know, my wife and I just recently went through the process this last year of selling our home and buying a new home. And we really, you know, we had talked about it. We're going to do some remodeling in our old house. And then, wait for another year or two, get better financial situation, you know, this. Do we fix this up, get more money for the house? No, I don't want to spend the money because I'm not sure I'll get the money back out. You go through back and forth. Well, we called on our A1 number one, here comes the promotion commercial, for Sean and Jennifer Dunn, our realtors. And they're good realtors. And so the biggest problem I had with those two guys was they kept asking me questions. Like, where do you want to live? How big of a house do you want? What can you afford? You know, you have to find out your wants, needs, and desires, because how did they know? I want to move to, you know, the North Shore. I want to move closer to our grandkids. So all of a sudden that put Anoka off the map. I'm not interested in how they're not going to bring me houses in St. Croix, in Forest Lake, in Princeton. True? Yep. I had to define, this is what I'm looking for. This is my little circle where I want to be. This is what I believe we can afford. I don't want my monthly mortgage to be any bigger than this. Therefore, that will start to determine how much house I can get, so to speak. I'm going to stay within my budget. So you start going through all these questions and answers and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And through that process, you start to narrow down where you want to buy a house, so to speak. What kind of house? Do you want 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, 10-bedroom? Do you want a swimming pool? Do you want a tennis court? What do you want? You know, because all those things come in. And so, you know, I would have loved to say, yeah, I'd like to have this big looking out on Lake Superior, but they can't move that down here. And it's too far to commute. So I have to settle for something else. I wanted something with a vista. I wanted to be able to sit in my office and look out over some hills and a pond and some trees, because for 20-some years, I've looked out my window at a metal grate. It looked, you know those corrugated metal things that they put down in windows? I was looking out my office in at this corrugated metal thing, and that's what I saw for 20-some years. I've thought about bricking it up. I thought about painting on it. I thought about putting a picture down in there. All kinds of things just to do something. I did not want to look at another corrugated recessed window in my office. So we had to start looking for properties that maybe had a bigger backyard, or maybe looked out on a forest, or looked out on a swamp. I just wanted to look out. And if any of you have been to our new townhouse, in fact, we weren't even thinking about a townhouse at the time. And we ended up in the most wonderful townhouse, most beautiful. I mean, we are so blessed where we live. And so I believe that we talked ourselves into that place. I believe we spoke ourselves into leading us and guiding us to that right place. But it took a lot of conversation. It took a lot of give and take. It took a lot of going through the motion of making sure that you understood exactly what you wanted. And it can be very frustrating if somewhere along the line things keep changing. And I'm sure that the Dunns have run into some customers. We were kind of a hard customer, picky. But I'm sure you run into a few that change their mind along the way. But
most people do.
Yeah.
Including us.
Including you. Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to be able to say, okay, what am I speaking to myself? What am I saying to others? How am I conveying to that person what I really mean? What is it that I want them to understand? Well, that's true in prayer. How do I go to God and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with? There's nothing wrong with pouring out your heart to God, because there's times when you sit and talk it out. There's times I'm all bottled up about something, and I sit down with my wife, and we start talking, and I'm going, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. In fact, a lot of times that's when you start getting stuff that you realize that was just kind of there, sitting on the shelf, and kind of stirring it up, made you see it. And so talking it out, spending time talking about it, going around and around and around with it, can bring clarity. And then it can also bring someone into a place of understanding with you, and then they can help you. That's what prayer is with God. That's what it is to have someone like a spouse or a friend who can sit and talk with you about some of the things that you're going through. And it's good to, again, you're not there to murmur and complain. You're not looking for a pity party. You're not looking for someone just to pat you on the back, but there is something about having a sounding board sometimes to be able to talk things through so that you hear yourself say, I didn't even realize I felt that way. I didn't realize I was even thinking that until I got it in this conversation where this flow starts kind of taking you along. And not that it's an avalanche, but it's like turning on the spigot and all of a sudden, wow. I didn't realize I was thinking that. I didn't realize I was feeling that. I didn't realize what was going on there. It's important to do that with God. It's important to do that with someone you trust. It's important to do that with someone who I believe will be able to hear what you're saying. And as someone would say, well, I want you to hear my heart. Well, that means out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to have to speak. Because if not, we're going to be in trouble. Proverbs 21:23 again. Proverbs 21:23, but this is the New Living Translation. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Well, that's kind of a contradiction to what I just told you, because I want you to watch your tongue about the things that are negative. I want you to watch your tongue about those things that are going to get you in trouble. In fact, the Message puts it this way. Watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. Another translation puts it this way. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. And I like that translation better, because it's talking about guarding your heart, guarding your words, guarding what you say, guarding it in such a way that it comes across clear, it comes across in a way that is comprehended by others and understood by the person you're talking to. It doesn't say, again, you have to put this one verse in context, not all the other verses, to say, okay, well, this one trumps all others. No, it means You can speak in other situations, but there's times you need to learn when to keep your mouth shut about some of those things that are bothering you. Or stop talking the negative. Don't go down at the mouth. Nothing ever goes right. Oh, this is probably going to go wrong too. Oh, we'll probably never find a house the way we want it. When we get there, we'll probably have termites. You know, that's the way some people talk. They just think that way. They just, if they don't, the glass isn't half full or half empty. The glass is cracked. Mm-hmm. It's leaking all. No matter how much you pour in there, it leaks out. So, you know, the answer is get a new glass and start pouring in there with the truth. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's get into a New Testament scripture. It says, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So again, watch your mouth. There's a promise to those who will watch their mouth. They'll live, they'll have good life, they'll have good days. In fact, the Message puts it this way. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. So it doesn't say don't talk. It says just don't go down the negative. Don't be deceitful about yourself. In the first place, don't deceive yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't deceive yourself. Proverbs 13:3, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening their mouth can ruin everything. The Message puts it this way. Careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything. So there's careful words, there's careless words. Which ones are we going to speak? We choose that. We make the decision if the words I'm going to speak are health or sickness, poverty or provision, life or death. It's in the power of the tongue. James chapter 1, verse 26. Anyone who claims to be a Christian but doesn't control his tongue, he is fooling himself. This person's religion is vain, empty, and worthless, and he is deceiving his own heart. That's powerful. That's James speaking to the church. He says, if you're a mature Christian, watch your mouth. If you're a mature Christian, and really the sign of maturity is the one who knows how to watch his mouth. Watch what he says. Watch the way in which he says it. Guards his heart, guards his mouth, guards the way he says things. Not just, have you ever been around someone that they don't even think? It doesn't. The words don't even process through their brain. It just kind of goes, blah, blah. And then you think, do you have any idea what you just said? I would give an illustration, but I'd record it and it'll get on the website. And I'd get in trouble with a certain relative. But they said something recently that was so insensitive after my sister-in-law passed away. I thought, really? Did you really? When I wasn't there when I heard it. When it was said, excuse me. I wasn't there when it was said. I'll get that out. When it was said. But I did hear it. It was passed on to me. I wasn't there when I heard it. That's pretty good. I wasn't there when I said it either.
They weren't there.
I'm just going to close in prayer now. We'll go downstairs and play the game, right? Get ahead. Well, I'm ahead. No, this person was saying something that was just so insensitive and just so, I just thought, how could you say this to this person who just lost someone dear to them? How could you say these words and not be aware of how just foolish and insensitive they were? Mm-hmm. But they just said something that was just inappropriate. Words can be very hurtful. Mm-hmm. Words can be very dangerous. But they can also be life-giving. Mm-hmm. And we have to make a choice. How are we going to speak? What are we going to speak? I can't control how people hear. I learned that a long time ago standing in this pulpit. I cannot control what people hear. Like I've said before, we had someone outside the door and they stopped every one of you and interviewed you, I would have a completely different perspective of what I said in here based on what everybody heard. Because some people walk out and say, well, Pastor said this. Well, another said, well, Pastor said that. Well, Pastor didn't say this. Some will remember what I didn't say. Some will remember what I did say, but not correctly. Some will reinterpret what I said. And some will go, oh, that's what he said. Yeah. But that's why I had the game come in. Because I wanted you to understand, we need to watch our mouth. Amen. We need to watch what we say. But we also need to be willing to say the right thing at the right time. We need to be primed and ready, as we've been learning on the 242 groups, to tell someone the truth when the opportunity arises. Don't hold back. Don't sit on that truth when someone needs it. Speak the truth in love. Isn't that what the Bible says?
That's right.
But it has to be spoken. Well, I'm just going to show them my love. That's great. And there's a truth to say. Yes, you know, the guy that after about 30 years comes in for marriage counseling with his wife, and his wife says, you know, he just never tells me that he loves me. He looks at her and says, what do you mean? I told you the day we got married I love you. Never changed. Why do I have to say it again? Told you once. I meant it. That's it. Well, ladies, you've learned that you like to hear once. And you know, women did invent Valentine's Day. You do that, right? All right. Careful words make a careful life. Careless talk, you'll end up in trouble, which is what I've done here tonight. Proverbs 13:3. All right, let's close this up. Matthew chapter 12. Let me give you a couple more verses and we'll wrap it up. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 in the New Living says this. I tell you this, you will give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Mm-hmm. So, again, think about the words you say. If you are aware that you're under oath in a courtroom, how many of you ever had to testify in court? Anybody in here? I've had to testify in court. And there's a sense of, wow, I'm under oath here. They do the whole swearing in thing, and you don't tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. You know? They didn't ask me, so help me God, but I said that anyway, so help me God. And you have to realize the responsibility, because what you say is either going to help the person or hurt the person. And you're under oath to tell it truthfully. And that's a challenge, but we should carry that every moment of the day. Why wait till all of a sudden you're in a courtroom where someone has sworn you in and you got a jury listening to you and other people looking at you? There's a jury, a great cloud of witnesses around us every single day and every single moment listening to our words. And if you understood the power of our words, that they are spirit and they are life, and that angels hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord their God and the word of God, so when I speak those things out, angels go, all right, we got a job, let's go. And if you speak a bunch of doubt and unbelief and sickness and death, and the demons go, yay, we got them. Let's work on that. Let's just put the screws to them about fear and about worry. Let's give them some more circumstances and poverty. That's what he said. We're going to follow after his words to perform it. The devil will make sure. The devil's just an imitator. God said, I will follow after my word to perform it. And the devil says, good, I'll follow after my words to perform them too. If you speak fear and doubt and all that, the devil says, good, I'll follow after that. So make sure what we speak. James chapter 3 says this, brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect or mature, and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go. even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. That's a pretty strong warning by James. And what he's trying to say, specifically, personally, and specifically within the church, you have to understand that how you speak and what you say, make sure it's edifying. Make sure it's the truth. Make sure it's of God. Make sure it's things that are going to be spoken in such a way that it's going to produce life, not death. Mm-hmm. Helpful, not hurtful. Careful, not careless. All the scriptures we've been looking at here. Because when you start looking in the mirror, you start hearing things spoken to you or spoken over you, you can either accept or reject. Oh, that guy, he never tells the truth. You don't want to have that kind of reputation. Oh, that guy, he always exaggerates. So we have to be able to look at what this says. He says, those that would be perfect are those who are mature, are those who know how to control, or in a sense, put that bit in your mouth, put that rudder under control, even though the winds are strong, even though there's temptation strong, and be able to say, I am going to be able to control the destiny or the direction that this ship is going. See, I want to be able to let my rudder say, I'm always heading in the direction of peace and pleasantness. I'm heading in the direction of healing. I'm heading in the direction of prosperity. I'm heading in the direction that everything that God has achieved for me through salvation is mine. All the things that are in Him are mine. So Ephesians 4:29 wraps it up and says this: watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Are your words a gift? When you speak to somebody or speak about someone, are those words a gift? I trust that they are. And I believe that that's what he's trying to say to us. And again, I know you'll remember the illustration, and thank you for...